Good evening.
Good evening.
I like a whiteboard, also known as a multi-purpose board. You can hide behind them if things get really rough. So let's pray and jump into the Word. Amen?
Amen.
Father God, we just thank you for this evening, the opportunity to come together, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus, that we live in a country where we can just meet freely and openly to worship you, to hear your Word taught, and to come together as Christians, Father God. Thank you. I know there are some countries in the world, Lord God, that do not have that privilege, that right. And I thank you, Lord God, that we have it. And we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your Word, Lord. And I just thank you for touching the hearts of each and every one of us with your Word and changing our lives tonight, Lord. We thank you for Jesus and what he's done for us. He's done it all. Because of him, we have this salvation package we've talked about, you know, forgiveness of sins and getting to go to heaven and healing and even walking in divine health and deliverance from depression and oppression, just whatever there may be, Lord God. Freedom belongs to us because of it. And provision, Lord God. Your word says that you provide all of our needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Father God, and I thank you for that. Thank you for what Jesus has done for us, Lord. And I think especially since we're here in the middle of Passion Week, or as we may call it also Holy Week, Lord God, it's just a time to remember the tremendous price he was paying for us. And to remember that, Lord, if we were the only one that needed a Savior, that he would have done every bit of it, all of it, just for that one, just for me or just for you or every one of us. Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody doing good this evening? Thank you for braving the rain and coming out. And even the folks who are watching online, I appreciate them as well. Amen. So I do want to, one announcement, we are having another membership class tomorrow. So if you're interested in joining Grace Tabernacle, we'll have that class tomorrow here at the church. It'll be back in the fellowship hall. And we'll do it at 2 o'clock. So I just encourage you to come if you'd like to. Praise God. So I want to talk tonight about God wants your prayers answered. How many of you want your prayers answered, don't you? Sure you do. Well, God wants your prayers answered. And so I'm going to talk about this a little bit tonight. And Hebrews 1:3 says, we're not going to turn there, but it says that, I have so many scriptures, if I went to all of them, we'd be here till 10 o'clock at least. But Hebrews 1:3 says, Jesus is the express image of God. Jesus is the express image of God. You know, if you want to see what God is like or what God wants to do, you can look at the life of Jesus in the Gospels. What did Jesus do? He met needs. He was easy to receive from, right? He was easy to receive from. He didn't say no to people. He really didn't. If somebody came to him, he would meet the need. He didn't say no to people. The only hindrance to people receiving from him was their unbelief. You know, when he went to his hometown, it said he could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief. Yeah? So Hebrews 13:8 says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he's the same today. If he was easy to receive from then, he's easy to receive from today. If he met needs then, he meets needs now. If he didn't say no then, he's not going to say no now. Right? And in fact, he's already said yes. This is a scripture we looked at over the last couple of weeks. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, it depends on the translation you read. That's actually a good scripture to read in multiple translations. 2 Corinthians 1:20, it says, all the promises of God are yes and amen. So he's already said yes. If there's a promise, he's already said yes. Yeah, I'm talking about God wants your prayers answered. So if there's a promise, he's already said yes. One translation of that says, as many as are the promises of God, as many as are the promises of God, they find their yes in him. So any promise you can find, you already have a yes to it. So think about what that means. When you ask God for something in prayer, and you ask according to the word, in line with the word, which is his will, right? Now think about this. You don't even have to wait on the yes. You already have it.
That's right.
That's pretty awesome to think about. God wants your prayers answered. And something else to realize too is you aren't the exception. He loves you. He wants your prayers answered. Let's just say that. God wants my prayers answered. God wants my prayers answered. He loves you. He wants your prayers answered. Sometimes we pray or believe for something and nothing seems to happen. We've probably all experienced that. So what do you do? Well, like I said, God wants that. He wants your prayer answered. He's all in. Now, I'll tell you something. God is not the variable. God's not the variable. And I'll just tell you, again, I'm mentioning some things here. We're not turning to them. We're going to hit some scriptures here pretty soon. But make note of these and look at them. In Daniel chapter 9, Daniel the prophet prays. And as soon as his prayer is over, an angel appears with his answer. It's pretty awesome. That's pretty good, right? As soon as he's finished praying. Well, in Daniel chapter 10, he prays again, and nothing happens for 21 days. Nothing happens. So finally, after 21 days, an angel comes and says that from the first day that Daniel prayed, he was heard. And that the angel had come because of Daniel's words. Now think about that. So the variable wasn't God. God answered that first day when Daniel prayed, just like he did the first time. So Daniel prays in Daniel chapter 9. God answers immediately. Daniel prays in Daniel chapter 10. God answers immediately. But it takes 21 days, and the angel reveals to Daniel that it was because of demonic hindrance that his answer was delayed for 21 days, okay? And something that's interesting to me there, again, you can go back and look at this, but the angel said, I came because of your words. If the answer to the prayer came because of Daniel's words, could Daniel have said words that may have delayed the answer? Think about it. Could he have said words that might have stopped the answer? What we say is important, okay? What we think is important. So anyway, God wasn't the variable either time. Something else was going on. Now, one thing to remember is Daniel didn't have the advantages we have. Daniel was a prophet, but he didn't have, Jesus hadn't gone to the cross yet, so he wasn't born again. He didn't have the Holy Spirit. He couldn't pray in the Spirit like we can. He didn't have the authority and the power. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. Then he gave us that authority and power. Today, we could take authority over hindrances and demonic influences and things like this and shut them down, okay? We could shut them down and help our answers come even quicker. But we'll talk about authority eventually, soon. But there are some more basic things that we can do to facilitate our answers coming, to cooperate with. God wants to answer your prayer. He's not the variable. So, but there's some more basic things we can do, some more foundational things that'll actually bolster and undergird our authority and our faith. Amen? So I want to look at those things. So let's go to Hebrews 6:12. That's kind of introductory stuff. God's not the variable. He's not the variable. Something else is going on. Hebrews 6:12, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those. Let's look at this here. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through desperate need inherit the promises. It doesn't say that, does it? It doesn't say that. Now, don't answer. Just think about this. Why doesn't God answer prayer based on need? Because if he did, he would be led by the creator of needs. Who's that? The devil. And God is not going to be led by the devil. Okay? So doesn't he care about our needs? Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, he cares about your needs, frankly, more than you do. Amen? And he has met every need in Jesus. Right? Okay. So, but instead of responding to us based on need, he responds to us based on faith. He provided a salvation package by his grace, forgiveness, healing, provision, deliverance. He provided all this by his grace. So he responds to us based on, that's the grace, and the faith is what we reach out and take, what is ours by grace. So he responds to us based on faith. So that's what this is telling us. Hebrews 6:12, if you'll put it back up there, please. But you do not become sluggish. So let's just make some notes of things so we keep track of it. So we don't want to be a slug, right? So let's put the little Ghostbusters thing on that here. We don't want to be that, but we do want to have faith and patience. Can y'all read my writing there? Hopefully you can. Faith and patience. So don't be sluggish. We want to stay with it. Don't quit. You know, Galatians chapter 6 says, in due season you'll reap if you faint not. Faint not. Lost, we think of fainting as just giving up entirely, just collapsing to the ground and quitting. But if you study that word faint out, it also means to relax or to compromise. In due season we'll reap if we don't relax, or we don't, in other words, we want to stay with it. Stay intense. Stay focused. Stay on your game, so to speak. I remember when I was in high school, I was talking to Rich out in the foyer here. I played football, and I played nose guard on defense. I don't know if anybody knows what a nose guard is, but I played nose guard on defense. Anyway, it was fun. I enjoyed it a lot. And one game, I just, you know how they tell you to visualize what you're going to do, right? And I just visualized myself. I'm just going to step around the center and sack the quarterback. And sure enough, man, the play came, and I stepped around the center, and I sacked the quarterback. Got him, right? So the next play, I thought, I'm going to do it again. So I went to step around the center, sacked the quarterback, and I had him. I was reaching to grab him, and I thought, I've got him. So because I thought, I've got him, I relaxed. That son of a gun didn't stand there and let me get him. He took off, and I didn't get him. If I hadn't relaxed, if I hadn't fainted, I had him. But I didn't do it. I didn't stay with it. I didn't stay focused. So we don't want to be sluggish. Amen? So imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So we want to stay with it. Keep magnifying God. I talked about that a couple of weeks ago. The magnifying God, it brings the power, it focuses you on God instead of on the problem. It brings the power of God into your situation. So keep magnifying God. Amen? That brings His power in your situation. So imitate the faith and patience of those who are receiving. Don't be jealous. Sometimes it's tempting to get jealous of those that are receiving. It's like, doggone it, I want it too. You know? Why are they getting all this? Don't be irritated by it. Imitate it. Obviously, those are things that are important, faith and patience. We don't want to be sluggish, right? So faith, what is faith? I think we know this, but I just alluded to it. But faith is what reaches into the spiritual realm. You know, in the spirit, you know, Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So every blessing heaven has to offer is yours already. That's past tense. It's already done. Every blessing heaven has to offer is yours already. So in the spirit, all the promises are fulfilled. It's yes. Okay? That's the grace of God. That's that salvation package. And faith is the hand we reach in and take what we need, so to speak. So faith is what reaches into the spiritual realm where all these things are, that salvation package, and brings them to this physical realm. It's like a hand that reaches in and takes it. Romans 12:3 says, we may wonder, okay, do I have faith? Romans 12:3 says, you've been given the measure of faith. So the answer is yes, you have faith. And I mentioned this before, but when Peter walked on the water, you know, Peter walked on water. And yeah, he began to sink, but he walked on water. That's pretty good, right? That's pretty good. And he began to sink, and Jesus reached out and caught him and said, oh, you of little faith. So evidently a little faith enough to walk on water. Yeah. So whatever faith you've got, you've been given the measure of faith. You've got enough faith to do what you need to do. I'm going to promise you. You've got enough. So that's faith. Patience. Now, we don't like patience typically. But patience is faith maintained over an extended time. It's just staying in faith, not being sluggish. Okay? Faith maintained over an extended time. You know, a lot of people, not you, but a lot of people believe until they say amen. And if they don't have a change in their body or a change in their circumstances, they begin to look for alternatives. Does this happen or not? We begin to think, well, that didn't work. What if Daniel thought that didn't work? You know, after 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, what if Daniel decided it didn't work? You know, what if he just said, that didn't work? The angel said, I came because of your words. What if he just said that didn't work? We don't want to say that didn't work because God's all in. If you pray in accordance with the word, based on a promise, the answer is yes. So it's on the way to you. Man, we need to get that mindset. The answer is on the way. Whatever it is you need. What do you need tonight? Do you need peace? Do you need provision? Do you need healing? You need whatever. What do you need? Find a promise. God has said yes to it. Amen? Everybody okay? So, don't stop believing or start looking for alternatives when the amen comes. You know, in Galatians 5:22, we might think I'm impatient. Stop saying that. Galatians 5:22 says patience is a fruit of the Spirit. If you're born again, you have patience. You might have to access it by faith, but you've got it. You can be patient. An example of patience to me is the woman with the issue of blood. Faith over an extended time. She heard about Jesus. She kept saying, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. She goes and finds him. She presses through the crowd. She touches the hem of his garment, and she's healed. Amen? Yeah, so faith, just maintaining your faith. She acted on her faith, right? Let's go to Ephesians 6:13. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able, I can speak English, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. Stay with it. Don't give up. Don't quit. Hang in there. Right? That's the whole point of that. Okay, let's go to Hebrews 11, verse 1. It says, now faith, this is a familiar scripture, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now notice it doesn't say it's the evidence of things not seen, not the evidence of things that don't exist. Your answer, the fulfillment, this grace package, this salvation package, it exists in that spiritual realm. Were you here a few weeks ago, I had the pitcher of water with the valve on it. And the picture represented the answers that existed in the spirit, and the valve is our soul, which is the valve that brings these things into the natural realm. So they exist. You can't see them because they're in the spirit. But again, faith reaches in and takes them. If you missed that message, go back and find it. It'll be on Facebook or on the website. You can find that and listen to it. But faith gives substance to things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. So substance, what's substance? That's the answer. That's what we want to get to. We want to get to substance. When something we're believing for takes on substance, that's when you can reach out. It becomes substantial. You can reach out and touch it. It's yours. Does that make sense? Okay. Faith is the your faith gives substance. This phone has substance. I can reach out and touch it. Your faith gives substance to the things you're hoping for. So hope's important. Sometimes hope gets a bad rap, but hope's important. We need to have hope. If we're not hoping, our faith doesn't have anything to grab a hold of and give substance to.
That's right.
So we need to have hope as well. So let's put that here, these important things, hope. So faith and patience and hope are all important. Faith gives substance to things we hope for. And again, substance, that's the manifestation of our answer. Bible hope is a positive expectation of good things happening. Bible hope is a positive expectation of good things happening. What should we hope for? What should we hope in? Okay? The Bible says many times that we should hope in the Word. We should hope in the Word, okay? I'll give you a few references. Psalm 119:74, Psalm 119:81 says it many times in Psalm 119. 119:114, Psalm 119:147. Psalm 130, verse 5, all say to hope in God's Word. Romans 15:4, you can make a note of this one, says, for whatever things were written, that's the Word, before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, now think about that through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, so the Word itself imparts patience. That's one of the things we need. So I want you to begin to see one of the things we need to help us manifest our answers to prayer is the Word. We need to be in the Word. Okay? We need to be in the Word. The Word's important. The Word of God. So for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So the Word imparts patience and hope. Man, how important is the Word? The Word's important. It imparts patience. It imparts hope. So it plays a critical role in this. Plus, how do you find out what belongs to you? How do you find out the promises? How do you find out what the promises are? How do you find out what's in the girl? Yeah, I see somebody pointing to their Bible. In the Word. Man, the Word's critical. So, see, this is foundational. This is something undergirding the manifestation of our promises from God. A lot of people, we don't know the Word, we're not in the Word, and we're expecting things to work, and we're really hurting ourselves expecting that. God, He wants things to work for you. But Jesus told people all the time, He would say, according to your faith be it unto you. What's our faith in? Our faith needs to be in the Word. Amen? And the Word, as we're going to see here shortly, and as we said before, the Word imparts faith. So the Word gives hope. The Word gives faith. You know, faith is in the Word. Look at Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. So we need to hear it more than once. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Never stop hearing. You know, I listen to things on healing and provision and just whatever, you know, all these different promises. I listen to things on those all the time. I read promises about those things all the time. I read the Word of God about those things all the time. Right? So we want to stay in the Word. Keep hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing because we want our faith to come. Put that one back up there, please. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So faith is in the Word of God. When you get born again, you're given the measure of faith. But then the Word contains faith itself. So the Word, look at this. The Word imparts the Word. This right here, it imparts hope, patience, and faith. And these are things we saw in the Scripture that are critical to our promises manifesting. Imitate those through whom faith and patience inherit the Word. Our faith gives substance to the things we hope for. These are critical to the... God wants to answer your prayer. He wants your prayers answered, okay? These are keys to it. The Word imparts all of that. How important is the Word to our prayers being answered? Okay? We're not even going to know what the promises are without the Word. Yeah, we're not going to know. So, amen. Faith begins where the will of God is known. How are we going to know the will of God? From the Word of God. Yeah? Yeah, that's how we're going to know. From the Word. Let's go to Galatians 5:6 in the Amplified Classic Bible. Galatians 5:6. Did I give you all that one? Perhaps I didn't give you that one. Okay, I may not have given the guys that one. So anyhow, Galatians 5:6. I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified Classic Bible. If you got your device or whatever your Bible, you can look it up and read along. Galatians 5:6 in the Amplified Classic. For if we are in Christ, if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith, activated and energized and expressed and working through love. Okay? So your faith is activated and energized and expressed and works through love. So love causes our faith to work. Now think about this with me. Let's reason together just a minute. Faith works by love. We've probably all heard that. I read it from the Amplified because it amplifies it. And so it's activated, energized, expressed, and working through love. Is that talking about us forcing ourselves to walk in love? Don't answer, just think about it. Is that what it's talking about? Like, I'm going to make myself walk in love so my faith will work. That's works. That's works frustrate the grace of God. That's not what it's talking about. What that's primarily talking about is me understanding God's love for me. When I understand God's love for me, that's when my faith is activated and energized and expressed and working. We all need to, so what I'm getting at here is we need the Word. We also need to know God's love for us. We need to know God's love for us. Faith works by love. Everybody there? So some key aspects of manifesting the answer are faith, patience, the Word, which, as we saw, inspires hope, contains faith. Patience is part of it. Also hope, God's love, which energizes our faith. Okay? So let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. This is called, what's 1 Corinthians 13 called? Anybody know? The love chapter. That's right. The love chapter. So let's go over here and we're going to read some scriptures here from the love chapter. All right, I want you to, we'll notice some things as we go through here. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. So this is talking about God's love. This is how God loves us. Yes. Okay, this is how God loves you. God, He suffered long with me. I was an atheist heathen for a long time, and He suffered long with me, but love suffers long. What's long suffering? What's that sound like? Does that sound like patience? Yeah. So, okay, we saw where the Word included faith, patience, and hope, imparts those to us. Look at love. Love suffers long, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. That's good, right? Describing God's love to us. It does not behave rudely. God's not rude. Does not seek its own. God's not self-seeking at all. He's about your best interests over His own. Jesus was that way. You know, Jesus said, even the Son of Man came to serve and not to be served, right? He was about you and not Himself. Is not provoked, thinks no evil. Okay, verse 6. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Rejoices in the truth. John 17:17, Jesus said that God's Word is truth. God's Word is truth. So, okay, if you're connecting the dots here, so love rejoices in truth, which Jesus said is the Word. God's Word is truth. As we get a revelation of God's love for us, as we get a revelation of His love for us, our love for the Word will grow. You know, have you ever just known somebody or been around somebody that just loves you? Hopefully you have. Hopefully you are at this point in your life, your spouse or whatever. But if you've ever been around somebody that just loves you and you realize this person loves me, you want to be around them. You want to know them better. Isn't that right? Yeah, you want to know them better. So as we realize that God loves us, we're going to want to know Him better. What's a great way to get to know God? The Word. You'll begin to love His Word more and more. Amen. Verse 7, 1 Corinthians 13, 7. Bears all things. Well, there's patience again. Do you see that? There's patience again. Bears all things. Believes all things. Faith. Y'all seeing this? Yeah. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Patience again. Man, love, just three times there's been in some way patience in this scriptures we've looked at. Wonder why God mentions that one three times. Probably because He knows we're not going to want to be patient. Probably. He gives us a triple dose of patience here. Look at verse 8. Love never fails. Love never fails. We'll just stop reading right there. There's a period. That's the part I wanted to get to. That sounds like answered prayer. Love never fails. That's the manifestation of our promise. Amen? Or whatever it is we're looking at, whatever we're facing. Love's a powerful force that overcomes. Amen? That's promises moving from the spirit realm to the natural. The manifestation. So think about this again. We read it earlier in Hebrews 11:1. I'll go back to it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay, let's just take that scripture right there for a moment. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance. Your faith gives substance to the things you hope for. All right? So love and the word energize your faith. They impart patience, which we saw where we want to have faith, you know, imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises, and hope. So love and the word affect all those areas. It affects our faith. It gives us faith. It energizes our faith. It gives us hope. And our faith grabs hold of that hope and brings the promise into our lives. Does this make sense? Praise God. God wants your prayers answered. He isn't holding back. He isn't the variable. All these keys that we've looked at to getting our prayers answered, to having the promises fulfilled in our lives, are a byproduct of understanding God's love for us, knowing His Word, being in the Word. So if our prayers seem hindered in some way, I think some great things we can do is, or just even if our prayers are getting answered now, just to avoid them being hindered later, is just be in the Word and be working on getting a revelation of God's love for you. You know, you can always get more of a revelation of God's love for you. God is love, right? He is love. You know, I'm always getting more and more of a revelation of Rebecca. I'm in Rebecca University. I learn new things all the time. Yeah? And then things can change. So I got to keep learning. The curriculum can change a little bit. Y'all ever had this happen to you? Yeah. I've talked about this before when Rebecca and I, see, men, I think we don't change as much, I think. I don't know why that is, but we don't. It seems to me like I don't anyway, but ladies can change more. And like Rebecca, when we first got married, our dining room was decorated with like country blue and ducks. So I just figured it'd be country blue and ducks forever. But it's not. It's not country blue and ducks forever. So believe it or not, God's even maybe a little more complex than Rebecca. So I need to keep learning about Him. Amen. I can always get more and more of a revelation of God's love for me. God loves you. Man, so really, all this comes down to, really, if you think about it, understanding God's love for us, being in the Word, it's about relationship. Relationship with God. God wants your prayers answered. And I think the biggest hindrance to us not getting our prayers answered or seeing them answered is our relationship with God. We need to know God better and continue to grow in our knowledge and relationship with Him. Are y'all blessed yet? God loves you. He does. Let's go to Luke 15. I'm going to read verses 4 through 8. This is a great portion of scripture right here. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, let's say we're the 100 sheep and you're the one that gets lost, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? If you were the only person that needed a Savior, Jesus would come after just you. That's what this is talking about. This is how much God loves you right here. This is how much He loves you. Look at this. If you were the only one that needed a Savior, everything, He would have given up His privileges as God, came to earth, been born in a stable, grown up, did everything He did just for you. Look at verse 5. And when He has found it, He lays it on His shoulders, rejoicing. He doesn't hit it with His staff and chase it back to the flock. That's not how He is. He picks it up and puts it on His shoulders. He carries that lamb. He does everything for it. And he's happy to do it, rejoicing. Look at that. Isn't that awesome? He does everything for the sheep to bring it back, and he's happy to do it. He does the finding. He picks it up. He carries it back. He takes care of it, and he's happy to do it. That's how Jesus is with you. He'd come after just you. Verse 6, and when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Verse 7, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. So again, if you are the only one that needed the shepherd to come for you, he would have done it all just for you. That's pretty awesome. That's God's love for you. That's pretty awesome, I think. Focus God's love on you. We've talked about these things before, but we tend to think, you know, that God loves us, and he does love us. Like, you know, the sun shining on a lawn full of grass, okay? He loves us. But, you know, we need to think about he loves me. Focus that love on just me. Have you ever taken a magnifying glass, maybe when you were a kid or something, and focused the sun's rays on a blade of grass or maybe an insect? Got it real hot, you know, maybe it burst into flame. We need to focus God's love on us. You know, instead of thinking God loves us, think God loves me. You know, John, the Apostle John, was the disciple that Jesus loved. And the way we know he's the disciple Jesus loved is he tells us that in his gospel. No other gospel says John's the disciple Jesus loved. John tells us that. That's how we know that. Now, how many of you know Jesus loved them all? Yeah. But John was focusing the love of God on himself, the love of Jesus on himself. Jesus loved them all. I think he loved them all equally. But John was focusing that love on himself. And of all the disciples, you know, at the Last Supper, when Jesus was saying that one of them was going to betray him, you know, Peter was close to John, right? John, Peter, and James were like the three. They were the closest to Jesus. So Peter's one of the three. Now, remember, think about this. John has been, he's practicing focusing the love of Jesus on himself. He's practicing the love of Jesus. Well, here's Peter, who's one of the three. So at the Last Supper, Jesus is talking about somebody's going to betray him. Peter leans over to John and says, ask him who it is. Peter recognized John had a different relationship with Jesus. Why? I believe it's because he was focusing Jesus' love on himself. Of all the 12 disciples, John was the one with his head over on Jesus' chest at the Last Supper. Yeah? Why did he feel so free to do that? I think it's because he was practicing the love of Jesus for him. We need to practice the love of Jesus for us. Just say, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. And Jesus loves you. Practice his love. Focus his love on you. John did. It's okay. Of all of them, who was at the cross during the crucifixion? John. He was there. There was a difference. And I think that difference, the thing I can come up with, I don't think the rest of them were cowards. I think John just had a greater revelation of Jesus' love for him. You know, of all the disciples, according to church history, of all the disciples, the one that died of old age was John. Something different there. Amen. Yeah, there's just something different there. Man, we need a revelation of Jesus' love for us. We need a revelation of his love for us. If you were the only one that needed a Savior, he'd have done it all just for you. Focus God's love on you. Romans 5:8. Let's look at it real quick here. Romans 5:8. It's right there. Romans, there it is. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Man, when we were sinners, when we were on the enemy's side, he died for us. Think if you were in war and somebody's over there on the enemy side and you die for them. That's a pretty drastic thought. That's what he did. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While you were a sinner, Christ died for you. Something to think about, isn't it? Something to think about. I'm going to talk about something I wasn't sure I'd have time to get to, but we've got time, so I'm going to cover it. Okay, sometimes we think, well, you know, but for some reason, God might have a special purpose for me, and he'll leave me in a lurch. Y'all have probably heard people think that. God will, you know, for some special purpose, he'll break up my marriage or cause me to go broke or he'll make me sick because there's some special purpose there. And a lot of times, people will point to Paul's thorn in the flesh and use that to justify this, okay? So let's go look at this. They'll say God gave Paul a thorn in the flesh, but did he? I think y'all know the answer already. Look at this. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan. Where did it come from? Didn't come from God. God didn't give him this. A messenger of Satan. This word messenger right here in the Greek is the word angelos. It's translated 179 times in the New Testament as the word angel. This is a demon assigned by Satan to harass Paul in his ministry because Paul was having so much success. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. I don't have the abundance of the revelations that Paul had, do you? I probably don't have this thorn in the flesh that Paul had assigned by Satan. God didn't assign this thing. Do y'all see that? Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. I don't have that abundance of revelations. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet. That's not buffet. Buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Amen. So it's a messenger of Satan. It's a demon, a sign. You know, everywhere Paul would go, trouble would start. Any city he'd go into, there'd be some big commotion, right? It is, well, this is what's going on here. This demon shows up, starts stirring up a bunch of junk against Paul. Y'all see that? So we think, well, you know, God will give me. Well, God didn't give it to Paul. It's the devil. We need to recognize, you know, when this junk comes at us, it's not God.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, God's not doing this to us. God's not doing this to us. If something is in our lives that doesn't line up with the Word, man, we need to not put up with it. You know, even if it's a demon caused to cause trouble for us, you know, those who live godly will suffer persecution. Jesus said, if they persecute me, they'll persecute you. But he also said, you will trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will by any means harm you. Keep trampling. Keep walking. Keep your forward motion going. Don't let it stop you. Amen? They put Paul in prison. Didn't stop him. He'd start writing letters. Sending letters out. He'd start worshiping God. The place would be shaken. They'd get free. All this kind of stuff. You just couldn't keep him down. No, you couldn't keep him down. Awesome. Yeah, they were persecuted. We may suffer some persecution, but we're going to overcome. Trample on serpents and scorpions. That's Luke 10:19. You'll trample on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will by any means harm you. Even if this stuff comes against us, if we stay in faith, we stay in love, we keep, you know, don't become sluggish, we're going to overcome this stuff. You're going to overcome this stuff. Kingdom winners.
Yeah.
Kingdom winners. Amen. Paul was a kingdom winner. John was a kingdom winner. Jesus was a kingdom winner. As he is, 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, so are we in this world. As Jesus is, so are we in this world. That's challenging to think about, but it's true. God wants your prayers answered. Amen? And again, we have authority. We have power. But I think these things right here are very foundational to us seeing our prayers answered. Faith gives substance to things hoped for. Imitate those who by faith and patience inherit the promises. The Word imparts hope, patience, and faith. Love does the same. Really, it's relationship with God. God is love, knowing His love for us. The Word reveals Him to us. We want to know Him, know His love for us, relationship with God. There's relationship to have. Amen? Yeah, eternal life. You know, eternal life begins when you get born again, not when you get to heaven. Yeah, it begins now. You know, everybody lives forever. Well, a better way to phrase it actually might be this. Everybody will exist forever. Some will live forever, and some will die forever. Because in a biblical sense, life is relationship with God, and death is separation from God. And all we've got to do to have a relationship with God is accept Jesus Christ, His sacrifice, put our faith in Him. And everybody's got that chance. Everybody's got that chance. Praise God. God wants your prayers answered.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I think a big key to this thing is relationship with Him. Again, understand His love for you and He loves you. Say it again. Say, God loves me. Jesus loves me. He loves you. Amen. You got anything to add, Rebecca? Nope. Well, we're going to close just a touch early, but let's pray. Let's stand up. I want to pray for you. Hallelujah. Pray. Praise you, Lord. Just pray in the Spirit for a moment, right where you're at. Kula la sala shatadaka satakana sitiyadaka. Kula la sala sika shitiyata satadaka satashatadaka siyatadaka. Kula la sataka sataka. In Ephesians 4, starting in verse 14, the Apostle Paul records a prayer here. We actually read this prayer recently in one of the services. But it says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in your inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love." So I pray in Jesus' name that you would be rooted and grounded in His love for you, that you would have a greater revelation of His love, that understanding, this miraculous supernatural revelation of His love for you would come, and that you would be able to comprehend with all the saints what's the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father God. Father, I thank you for Jesus and His love for us, His care for us, that you want prayers answered so much that you've answered everything. That you, the promise of God are yes and amen in Jesus. It's all been done. You want the prayers answered, Father God. If we ask anything according to your will, we know that you hear us and that we have what we've asked for. So, Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that we will get to know you, get to know your love for us. Just come to know that you love us so much that you are not holding anything back. You are all in. You want us to have it, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for understanding of what I've talked about tonight in Jesus' name, that we would walk into relationship with you more and more and more, that we would just have a desire for you, to know your love, to know you through your word, to know how you really are. I mentioned earlier how in Hebrews 1, verse 3, it says that Jesus is the express image of God. If we want to see how God really is, just look at the life of Jesus. He loved people. He cared for people. He blessed people. He was the difference maker. He was the big break for Jairus. He was the big break for the centurion's servant. He was the big break for blind Bartimaeus. He was the big break for everybody who encountered him. He's the same today. He's our big break today. He hasn't changed. Your word hasn't lost any power. It's as vital, it's as fresh, it's as powerful today as it was when the ink was wet on the page for the very first time. It hasn't lost anything, Lord God. It's for us today. You're for us today. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, God, we thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, you're dismissed. Thank y'all for coming.